Blog Talk Radio.
Strolling in the park, watching winter turn to spring. Walking in the dark, seeing lovers do their thing.
Happy Monday. You're listening to The Garden of Enlightenment with Louie Wild Dove. Unfortunately, Louie Wild Dove is under the weather and won't be hosting the show, so my name is Gray Eye Smith. And this show is brought to you by a group on All Poetry called Late Night Poets. And we have anthologies available on Amazon.com filled with poetry from poets around the world, so feel free to check those out as they help support these shows. That said, tonight's show is based on a contest that Louie Wild Dove and myself ran, and it was called Love Poetry. Love Songs Make Me Believe in Love. Show Your Love in Poetry. And so that's the gist of tonight, plus some open poetry and some carryovers from the last show. All right, so I'm going to grab the first poem here, post this to the board. Here we go. Check the studio real quick here. Okay, so sorry, lost here. All right, we have a caller. Hello, area code 804. Is that you, Sawa?
Yeah, it's me. Hello, Gray. How are you this evening?
I'm great, thank you. Good to hear your voice.
Thank you. Everyone has been dealing with this crazy cold. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Cold January. Well, yeah, it's great to have you on.
Thank you.
So, I just posted the first poem. Would you mind reading it, Sawa?
Oh, where is it? I'm sorry, I'm trying to figure out where I'm at right now. Hold on, 1 second. I see it. Is it by Wado? I'm not sure how to pronounce the name.
Way down upon joy.
Yes. The must of no. So many times I fade my face by frowning at what fate provides, and yet I know that breathing space is all I need for smiling eyes, or reasons why will disappear whene'er I know it's life or death. My loving heart and mind sincere remind my ears to hear my breath and the form.
Well, that was a beautiful read.
Thank you.
Bella, excellent read. And, you know, this is based on a quote called Dust of Snow, and it was our previous contest that we ran. But, yeah, the quote is, "The way a crow shook down on me, the dust of snow from a hemlock tree has given my heart a change of mood, saved me from some part of the day I had rued." So that was the quote this is based on. But, no, I liked it. You know, it was insightful and it was deep, but so short. No, that was a fantastic poem. What did you think, Sawa?
You talk about life, how sometimes we're not satisfied or things happen in our life. That's what I see here so many times. I fail my face by frowning at what fate provides. Sometimes fate provides things that we might not like, but he's taken it in a good, like the way he takes it. I know that breathing space is all I need for smiling eyes. So you just have to breathe and whatever comes your way in this world, and remember to breathe, no matter what happens. That's what I see here.
Well, that was a fabulous comment. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Excellent read as well. Okay, so I'm going to grab the next poem and I'll put that in the group. Okay, here we go. And this is by Sandy G. I'm just going to check the lines real quick. We have two callers here. Hello, Sir Lawrence. Welcome to the show.
Good evening, good evening. Pleasure to be here, Gray.
Awesome to have you. Excellent to hear from you.
Good evening. Oh, bonsoir. Hello.
Hey, hello.
Hello, hello.
Oh, I just lost the caller. Did you get a chance to hear Sawa read?
No, I just got on.
Okay. All right, so I posted the next poem. Would you mind reading that for me, Lawrence?
Certainly. The one called Snow Kisses by Sandy G.
Yes.
Watch a thousand falling stars perch along the deck rails, build hats upon the caps, and recline on deck settees. Hear the breathless silence and the echo of the snowflakes, the ticking of the flurries on the dusting close below. Watch the fate of dancing flakes swallowed in the babbling as they kiss the flowing brook that runs below the bridge. A carnival of natural beauty, a show of crystal lights, the best of winter's gifts, to turn your season bright. End poem.
Well, that was a wonderful read. And I really like this poem. You know, it's so pretty. You know, it's got such beauty to these scenes that are painted here. And I thought it was just a beautiful read. What did you think, Sawa?
I see someone who really enjoy the snowflakes and just sitting there silently and hearing the ticking of the flurries and the dusting. It's really beautiful view to see, and brought the beauty of it. Watch the fate of dancing flakes swallowed in the babbling. It is true, it gets swallowed, they don't last as they kiss the flowing brook. A beautiful description. very realistic, but there is beauty in the description itself, very poetically done. I enjoyed it very much.
Great comments. Great comments, Ella. Lauren, what did you think?
My pleasure.
Very skillful, very clever piece, an appreciation of a snowflake falling onto water and other places. I'm sure we've all had the experience of a still winter's day and the snow falling very softly, very gently. And as you watch it, despite its very slow speed, begin to build and build and build its height. So the phrase, build hats upon the caps and recline on deck settees, I thought was very well done. And the breathless silence and the echo of the snowflakes is another very well-turned phrase. And then, you know, that last stanza, it's the one that rhymes and kind of snaps, helps everything to snap back into focus, a carnival of natural beauty, a show of crystal lights, the best of winter's gifts to turn your season bright. I like it ending in a rhyme when the majority of it was free verse. Very well done.
Thank you, Laura. Fabulous comment. We have another caller here. Area code 703. Who's calling, please?
Hello, Jay. How are you doing? Tom.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm good. Yourself?
Doing good, thank you. Great to have you here.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to post another poem. And if you wouldn't mind, Thomas, I'm going to put you to work right away.
Okay, no problem. There it is. Pilgrimage by NyQuil. Raspberry-tipped mountains sit off in the distance. My mind drawn to the memory of gentle peaks and white, snow-white foothills. I stand now and stare at a landscape of dry, cracked bone, flesh torn and tattered, my spirit a semblance of myself, scant barrenness of the badlands, rusted earth, dried and cracked, loneliness down dirt roads, no rain clouds or blue skies, a desert once swelled with expectancy. I smiled at your endless laughter. My sweet, honeyed words snaked into your soul, and your defenses crumbled. Excuse me, your defenses crumbled with ease. Quicksilver warmth of your kisses, I dined on your whispers and painted you with my fingertips. Magnificent starlight passed, etched in soft murmurs of provocation. I exist between the flames to wait for you, to exit the shadows, fingers long to open shuttered windows for a cool breeze to blow, a velvet razor across your skin, created wounds that never bled, a carnal sacrifice to the goddess of the moonlight, knelt and ready in prayer. Short skirt and naked knees, hasty hands on hips that swayed, softness of lipstick stains, sweetness clung to thirsty lips in the sultry heat of temptation. Now, cooled and splintered, broken glass upon my skin, time faded away in eyes that no longer plead for ecstasy. You still exist in the back of my mind, where you remain just out of reach, silk binds of regret. Keep me from your caress. Angry words written on air, quickened by a cold silence of mistakes, are all that is left. Insane ideas sufficiently decomposed, a seductive narcotic, needles in my arms, lovers walking hand in hand. End poem.
That was a beautiful read, Thomas. And this is a, you know, a powerful poem full of eroticism, this relationship that ends up broken, and yet he aches for it like a drug, and needles in his arm, lovers walking hand in hand. Just a wonderful journey of desire and darkness. A very, very hard-hitting poem. What did you think, Sawa?
I like how he contrasts between how was it before and after, how much he enjoyed that moment and the relation between them. And then after that, he's, as you said, there is longing, there is regret, and there is almost anger that this ended. All what he has left is just, even though maybe it's broken relationship, but as he said, it still exists in the back of my mind, where you remain just out of reach. There's memories of certain people, you cannot erase them from your mind, and it shows very beautifully in this poem how much she means to him.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Zawa. And Laura, what did you
think? My pleasure.
This is a great piece. It looks at the agony and the ecstasy of lost love, of a love betrayed by mistakes, perhaps. And he takes us from the raspberry-tipped mountains, and because he no longer has that relationship, all he can see now is that landscape of dry, cracked bones, flesh torn and tattered, my spirit, a semblance of myself. You know, the badlands that the world becomes is not a pleasant place. All he remembers is the quicksilver warmth of kisses and waiting to exist between the flames, which everything depends on her. But at some point, things fell apart. And that sultry heat of temptation, as the poet says, is now cooled and splintered, broken glass upon my skin. It's beautifully done, especially the last stanza. The ideas that decompose a narcotic, lovers walking hand in hand. All of a sudden, the very vision of what he had and lost is now a narcotic. The strong attraction of love, well demonstrated in this piece.
Thank you, Laura. That was a wonderful comment. And I'd like to welcome Bobby to the show. Hello, Bobby.
Good evening.
Hello, Bobby.
Oh, bonsoir.
Did you get
a chance,
Bobby?
Bonsoir.
What's that? I
did you get a chance to hear?
No, and more Thomas, specific because I'm comments about it. I really have to go back and read it now.
Okay, no problem. Thank you. And Thomas,
mm-hmm.
What did you think of the write?
Well, this is a sharp description of the way in which love lost is not love turned away from or forgotten, but often one that lingers and dwells and reminds us of all the things we could have, should have, would have had if we could have held on, made it work. And yet, at the same time, he holds himself responsible in many ways. At least it strikes me that way with this line, a velvet razor across your skin created wounds that never bled. and there are many ways in which we can harm the ones we love without meaning to, or in a moment of anger and stupidity, that never heal and that soon cause the person to leave us behind with all of our regrets. He did a great job in making sure that that it's clear that this is not so much an addiction, though there are overtones of that, the needles in my arm, but more of a deep despondency and sense of loss of reason for many, many things. Because the one that made it all beautiful and made it all run together and be happy, gracious and great, is gone. Very well done.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. Thank you, Thomas. Okay, Bobby, you're up to next to read, please.
All righty. Let's see. Caught me with a mouthful of tea. Okay, we have Midnight Concerto. All right, Midnight Concerto by Poets Primed Pen. Mockingbird at midnight sings the songbird catalog, Moonlight Sonata. Poem.
Well read, Bobby. Thank you for reading that. And, you know, it's definitely a little haiku, I guess it is. But Mockingbird at Midnight sings the Songbird Catalog, Moonlight Sonata. You know, you can see and feel all that as you read through it. So that's wonderful. What did you think, Salwa?
On mute. I was really curious why he put Mockingbird, so I searched it, and I found really interesting facts. They say that the song of Mockingbird is not, it's like with Tuvan throat singing, Beethoven Fifth Symphony. According to the recent paper published in Journal Frontier Psychology, Mockingbird follows similar music rules when composing its song that human music use. Incredible. Probably he knew about that. I don't think it's a coincidence. That's really amazing. I had no idea. That's why maybe he said catalog. And it doesn't surprise. Like sometimes you listen to birds singing, it just amazes you. Beautifully done, few lines. Just show the beauty of both the Beethoven and the Mockingbird singing.
Great comments, Alan. Thank you. And, Lauren, what did you think?
Well, the Moonlight Sonata is a pretty amazing piece of music. And for the Mockingbird, the Singer's catalog, which is also amazing, I guess it made sense to throw in the Moonlight Sonata because it's really, you know, I'll look at one of Beethoven's masterworks, Through the Eyes, or the ears, or the throat, if you will, the Mockingbird at Midnight. There is alliteration in this, in the M's and in the S's. It's not quite a haiku, because I think it reads 685. It probably should be 575, I don't know. But it's at least in the form of it, and entertaining for a short piece.
Absolutely. Thank you, Lauren. And Thomas, what did you think?
Well, he does a very lovely job of using the concept of setting up, and that haikus work on, of setting up the image, the Mockingbird at midnight, giving us the point upon which all things turn, that sings the songbird catalog. Because Mockingbird not only sings its own song, but oftentimes will imitate the songs of other things it heard. We have one that lived in the backyard when I was in Alexandria seduced to imitate the woman's phone, our neighbor's phone, and do it so perfectly she'd go running into the house to answer it, and only to find out it was that silly bird. But then switching it over to this magnificent work by Beethoven, the Moonlight Sonata, at midnight. Is it Beethoven, or is it birds, the wonder of that bird and the beauty of its voice creating its own Moonlight Sonata? The question mark there, the transition, really nice. It sets up really well. Beautiful piece.
Well said. Thank you, Thomas. And Bobby, what did you think?
I thought it was a very elegant piece. The words that he's chosen, the mockingbird is known as an impressionist, can do everything from your car alarm to a barking dog, to, like Thomas said, the telephone. They're amazing mix. We have one in our backyard, and he will imitate the other birds' songs. He can do a cardinal and confuses the heck out of the cardinal. And so he sings the songbird catalog, which there's no limit to what a mockingbird can sing because of its versatility and impressions. The Moonlight Sonata, I thought, was the mockingbird giving a wonderful recitation of all that it can do and its abilities. So it was his own Moonlight Sonata.
Absolutely, yeah. Beautiful comment, Bobby. And I'd like to welcome Naomi to the show. Hello, Naomi.
Hello, hello.
Hello. Hello, hello.
Hi. Hi, Salwa.
Hi.
Hello, Naomi.
Did you get a chance?
Hello. Hi, Tom. Hi, Gray. I think Lauren's there too, eh? Bobby.
Yeah.
Hi, Bobby.
Welcome to the show. Did you get a chance to hear the last poem read?
Yeah, with all your comments, I don't have much left to say except that it was was a great piece. I just loved the idea of having a bird song catalog. I'd like to have one of those. If I could sing, but well, yeah, it was really a great little write. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Naomi. Okay, so I have the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind reading that, Naomi, please. It's by Jack Tomkovic.
Okay, it's called Hot. He scorched her skin with the strength of the sin and kisses that burned as flame. He wrapped her and trapped her in satin and silk, but nobody grasped his frame. I knew the frame, her with rhyme, beating, alliterating a crime, the chains to tame and puddles of pain. Don't step in the agony, darling. Whoopsie, looks like rain. End poem.
Beautiful read, Naomi. And this is a wonderful poem. You know, it speaks to the poetry of life. And he wrapped her hair, trapped her in satin and silk, but nobody grasped his frame. I knew the frame to conquer with rhyme, beating, alliterating a crime, the chains to tame. Yeah, a powerful poem for such a short poem. What did you think, Sawa? Hello, Sawa.
Sorry, I had to step out for a second. I have to read it again. I'm so sorry. I just got to it. So good. Give me one second.
Okay, we'll come back to you.
Thank you.
Lauren, what did you think?
Well, I liked it a great deal, and I liked his description of the AN. Just a bit of rhyme and relationship, and that's exactly what it is, really. On the one hand, the lovemaking, the strength of him. But, you know, his perception, his frame, he used a frame to conquer with Ryan. And then all of a sudden, puddles of pain. Don't step in the agony, darling. Oopsie. Looks like rain. And then not to the damn with faint praise, but I think this is exactly what he described it as. Just a bit of rhyme and relationship for us to enjoy.
Absolutely. Thank you, Lauren. And Thomas, what did you think?
I think this is it sort of dances between two extremes. He has a description in the third person of someone who basically is completely taking over somebody else's life and treating it almost as if she was of no importance. You know, he wrapped her and trapped her in satin and silk, but nobody grasped his frame. And then he switches to the first person, and he does a really great job of speaking to how you do the best you can in the face of this. You know, I knew the frame to conquer with rhyme, beating, alliterating a crime, the chains to tame, and puddles of pain. But at the same time, recognizing that, you know, if you play these kind of games, these things happen. You know, it's like the old thing, you know, you see a sudden downpour, and the only thing you know for a fact is that when you run out, you will get wet. And if you're going to play these games where you let yourself become totally entranced by some idiot, you will feel pain. And not much you can do about it.
Yeah, no doubt. Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Thomas. And Bobby, what did you think?
That was very clever. It's intensely emotional for such a short piece, yet it's pithy with a wry humor sprinkled in it, which is a very adroit way of doing this. I knew the frame to conquer with rhyme, beating, alliterating a crime, the chains to tame, and puddles of pain. Don't step in the agony, darling. Oopsie, looks like rain. This is the protagonist seems, while very self-deprecating, he's romancing with ardor, yet he's laughing at himself in his pain. And I think this is a survival tactic.
Wow, great insight. Thank you, Bobby. And Naomi, what did you think?
I've read this over a couple of times now. He wrapped her and trapped her in satin and silk, but nobody grasped his frame. Could it be the frame of, you know, him trying to buy her off so that he could continue violating her? I don't know exactly, but if that is the case, well, that's what I grasped out of it, and the reader's already, it's always the interpretation of the reader, eh? So, I thought this was an amazing, well-written poem, and, you know, it had a depth to it that you had to reread it quite a few times to grasp, and just an amazing write by Jack here. Thank you.
Well said. Thank you, Naomi. Okay, I've got the next write-up, and it's by Rory Deuce. And it's called The Portrait and the Canvas. And it shows a woman silhouetted standing on a beach back by the moon, rising above the water. It's beautiful. Anyway, it says, I long to paint a portrait, though there's no need for her to pose. Her grace is etched inside these eyes, having taken residence in countless memories and infinite dreams. I require no brushes, since no palette exists to adequately reflect the hybrid of sweet blessings and fray passion radiating from her eyes that hint at heaven but provocatively whisper, "The path may lead through hell. Let's dance." Instead, allow my words to shape bold features. Let unspoken thoughts fill the finer details. And let the canvas be the dreamscape of unholy desires. O Da Vinci, you master, lend me the rainbows from your talents to capture her skin, wet with kisses and goosebumps with anticipation. The subtle nuances of shadowing where my fingers softly stroked and her sighs breathed their tender hymns to God or to the walls, it didn't matter. And once finished, I will hang this portrait from the moon, sharing my Mona Lisa with the universe across the only canvas large enough to capture my dreams. Absolutely beautiful. And a poem. But that was so pretty. I love the way he brings you into the picture that he paints with his mind and his desires. I thought it was beautifully crafted. What did you think, Sawa?
It's very passionate and romantic. You can see how much he doesn't need to. I love the idea he doesn't need to paint her. It's in his mind. He has his own paint of her in his mind. And he said it in his eyes, radiating from her eyes, her beauty. It's so true. Eyes can tell so much. And he's just adding, saying she is Mona Lisa, the Da Vinci, your master, lend me the rainbows from your talent to capture your skin. There's so much. He just admire her beauty and he just want to capture it in his dream. And it's very beautiful, very romantic.
Thank you, Sawa. And Laura, what did you think?
I love the perspective that this is nothing that may be painted, and I require no brushes, since no palette exists to adequately reflect the hybrid of sweet blessings and the passion radiating from her eyes. And that passion is not evil in any way, but when he says the eyes that hinted heaven, but provocatively whisper the path may lead through hell, let's dance, it's a wonderful little intonation of concerning the darkness, which is not truly darkness. It's a sweet hell that she will put him through. I like his plea to Da Vinci for some of the skills that the painter has so that he could paint it, but since he can't, the words that are his brushes, the subtle shades of shadowing my fingers softly stroked. Really well done. Is painting with words.
Absolutely, I agree. Thank you, Laura. And Thomas, what did you think?
This is, on one hand, very, very clever in terms of the way he sets up our understanding that there is no way that you can describe the woman that you love and the passion that she provides to you. And then almost with a Ciceronian type, if that's such a word, I can won't tell you about something, and then goes right ahead and tells us and does it so beautifully from the provocative whisper, the path may lead through hell, let's dance, to things like from your talents to capture her skin wet with kisses, goosebump with anticipation. And all of a sudden, there's just enough hint there of description that your mind is rapidly filling in all the details, chasing from dot to dot, making it be whoever it is that you love and you care about. And I like the boldness of hanging her portrait from the moon, sharing my Mona Lisa with the universe. It has both ego, boldness, passion, fury, joy, love. It's a wonderful mix. Just a wonderful mix.
That was a great comment. Thank you, Thomas. And Bobby, what did you think?
Oh, you want me to follow that?
Thanks. I thought this was an intensely passionate and romantic, yet subtly sensual love letter to the author's beloved. I require no brushes, since no palette exists to adequately reflect the hybrid of sweet blessings and fiery passion radiating from her eyes. I mean, that is adoration. And his ardor is such that her features are of such incomparable beauty that nothing created by man could render her grace and comeliness or do justice to it. And this is such an elegant writing. It has passion, but it has grace.
Absolutely. Fantastic comment, Bobby. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I agree with everybody, and I see that already won two golds. This is a brilliant, beautiful piece all the way down. Like, each stanza is wonderfully worded here. Just, reverence, that you feel the reverence he has for his loved one in this. Just beautiful, beautiful, awesome, right?
Thank you, Naomi. Okay, Sawa, I have your write-up, if you don't mind, please.
Second. Can't you see? Tu ne vois pas. Tu ne vois pas ton ombre. Je ne peux pas le cacher. Tu ne vois pas tes yeux souris dans mon âme. Tu ne vois pas ton mystère sauvegarde la clé de mon cœur. Tu ne vois pas. Tu me brûles pleinement à l'intérieur. Can't you see a shadow I can hide? Can't you see your eyes are smiling in my soul? Can't you see your mystery holds the key to my heart? Can't you see you're burning me fantomously inside of me? End of poem. Because it says love, so I put something to fit there. The team.
Well, that was a beautiful read.
Thank you.
But can't you see your shadow I can't hide? Can't you see your eyes are smiling in my soul? Can't you see your mystery holds the key to my heart? And then in final, can't you see you are burning me fathomlessly inside of me? Yeah, you know, that's so beautiful. It really haunts the reader with its beauty. Just a fabulous job, Sawa. What did you think, Lord?
Okay.
Well, I appreciate what you said, and you're absolutely true. The repetition of the line, can't you see, is half the poem. It's the strength of it in many ways. It's the question asked, not necessarily waiting for a response. Your shadow I can't hide, your eyes smiling in my soul. And on down, that last thought, you're burning me fathomlessly inside of me. It's a really interesting one, to be burning so deeply that it's fathomless. Without a box, it implies a very strong relationship, certainly, on her part, at least. Excellent piece.
Thank you.
Wonderful comment, Lord. Thank you. And Tom, what are your thoughts?
Well, I really love the phrase, can't you see, because by the time she repeats it the fourth time, it becomes not just a question of, do you recognize how much I love you? But it also becomes a question of, can you see? Do you know? Are you aware? Are you awakened to the depth? And because the professional, the confession, that is professed of love in this piece is both gentle, deep, and fiery, and passionate, and yet unanswered. And that part right there, that unanswered, that can't you see, now becomes an ache that just pulls at this reader and I should thank every reader at the same time, that it's a beautiful opening and opportunity. Beautifully done. Just really stunning piece. Great job.
Thank you.
Thank you, Thomas. That was a wonderful comment. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Oh, my goodness. I think this is one of the best. This is a bilidu, almost a prayer, expresses a love and longing of such intensity that the lover utters the verse as an entreaty. And the refrain, "Can't you see?" That's what it feels like, an entreaty to me. "Can't you see? Your shadow I can't hide. Your eyes are smiling in my soul." The lover has just suffused their essence into her. She can't exist without them. It's beautiful, beautiful piece.
Thank you, Bobby. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
Oh, this is beautiful, Salwa. It's so deep and with a powerful and with a yearning, and a longing and a sadness. I just love that last line in French, tu ne vois pas, tu me brûles pleinement à l'intérieur. I see this as a refrain, a chorus, a chorus to a sad love song. I really would, This would be awesome. Just a brilliant, powerful, deep right here, Salwa. I just loved it.
Thank you so much. Thank you all so much.
Thank you, Salwa. Thank you, Naomi. Okay, Lord, I have your write-up, but before you read yours, I'd like to ask Thomas if he would post a poem. Hello, Thomas, did you get that?
He left, I think. He said good night.
Oh, really? Oh, shoot. Okay, I guess he didn't want to read one. Lauren, anytime you're ready.
This is called Under Ladders. One wrestles with meaning on a larger scale, grand purpose sought with poetic and scientific fervor. Ultimate answers are the end quest. On a smaller scale, one, my own particular one, wrestles with meaning, for am I not the one that matters, as did Lazarus and Napoleon to themselves? Both risen, equally remembered. I am clear on the emperor's fall from life. Not so Lazarus, who suffered the outrage twice. Any future skin I wear will be mine, not a loved one's spirit, no matter the resonance and importance it had for me in life. Does a gossamer tide foretell the future, or the sideways scuttle of the hermit crab portray the past, always slipping away at oblique angles, warning us with its snapping claws, discovering meaning in entrails, bathing in wisdom from the moon, life from the sun, hidden faces of gods, truth from torture, rising up in smoke to heaven's bespoke, ominous fortune told in raucous cause, a dozen stanzas of dusk, dark featherhood perched on 100 skeletal limbs, bobbing in the Byzantine winds of superstition, tales of vengeful djinns, clawing at glass, beating at safety, grim warnings or the weather, curdled milk, black cats, salted shoulders of timid throws, repeated forcefully with a rueful smile. Simulacra, searching for meaning. Storytellers, seeking validation of thought. Wild speculation, rarely yielding to cold reason in the insanity of the age. As I poke and prod for meaning under ladders, for kindred philosophies. End poem.
Wow, that was epic, Lawrence. So deep and meaningful. Just deep with introspection and a philosophical view that really stands out as I poke and prod for meaning under ladders and kindred prophecies. And then I noticed in your author's notes it says superstitions, and you know you're standing under the ladder of for kindred philosophies. I thought that was just a beautiful, beautiful read and write, Lawrence. Excellent job.
Thank you.
Absolutely. You bet. And Salo, what did you think? Hello, Salo?
Sorry, I'm in mute. I'm sorry. I'm talking to myself. Because I coughed, so I put myself on mute. Sorry. I love this, Laurent. I like how you take something that matters to you or thought or whatever it is, and you bring it and give it all the perspective from the past to the present, and also what matters to you in your life as well. You gave us Napoleon to even biblical, and then really at the end what matters for you, it's your life. You live it. You don't listen to fortune teller or superstitions. As you said, where is it? No matter the resonance and importance it had for me in life, any future skin I wear, that's what I meant, would be mine, not a loved one's spirit. In fact, it is, you're right, it's old, but all these stories still exist until today. People believe in this stuff, in superstitions. They exist in maybe every part of the world. And sometimes it's really laughable. And sometimes it's scary. It gives you a goosebump, but oh my gosh, I don't want to know about it. So it's really, it's, you brought something that exists and you gave it meaning, what it really means to you, that you don't care about this stuff. Under the letters, that's really, it's a great, great, great poem as always.
Thank you, Salwa.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Salwa. And Bobby, what did you say?
This is quite a catalog of cultural superstitions. And interesting, and if you examine a superstition, what is it? But it's everyone looking for the secret to the unknown, looking for the ability to affect their future, discovering meanings and entrails, bathing in wisdom from the moon, life from the sun, hidden faces of God's truth from torture, rising up in smoke to heaven's bespoke. Ominous fortune told in Bacchus claws, a dozen stanza at dusk. This is a complex, very deeply layered rite that it very skillfully weaves very detailed metaphors together in its storytelling. This is far beyond a word painting. This is more of a tapestry. It is beautifully done.
Beautiful, Garland.
Well,
thank you.
And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I agree with everyone. This is amazing. From the, you know, the title Under Ladders to, you know, right to the end where you come back to ladders and you put in so much superstitious things here. I love your reference to Napoleon and then to Lazarus. And, you know, saying that you'll wear your own skin, you won't be haunted by anything else. You'll just be yourself. And then all while I feel, you know, poking and prodding around to wondering why all these legends and these superstitions and these legends and all of this exists, you know, and why are they there, I think. So this is just an amazing, like Bobby said, very layered and very well-written and structured piece. It's just amazing. It's, you know, something that you don't read about often and just draws you in. And on me, I was, really picked my curiosity and made me think. So amazing job, Laura.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for sharing, Lawrence. Okay, Bobby, I have your write-up, if you don't mind, please.
Do I mind? When does an author mind reading their own work? Okay, we have Captain B2, Sweat and Regret. A crepuscular light suffused their surroundings, cloaking their microcosm in a soft gray velvet, softening the edges of everything in the room, the warm, moisture-laden breeze wafted through open windows, making the air in the room feel like bathwater. His fingers gently began tracing something slowly into the thin layer of perspiration covering her back. She recognized the gestures and knew what it was and felt him forming the characters, the words of his message, secret and personal, that he outlined on her flesh in their private lexicon of passion, esoteric and erotic. Like a Gyosho calligrapher, his fingertips continued moving light brush strokes across her skin, leaving his message of desire, character after cursive character. His erotic chitography continued the length of her body, covering every portion of her sensitive skin in excruciatingly minute detail with her sweat as his ink. Just when she thought that this exquisite torment was finished, he informed his living journal that his missive was not yet done. So she surrendered up her uninscribed surfaces to him. And as his maddeningly gentle calligraphy worked its way back up her now very aroused anatomy, she found she could not keep still under his intensely sensual attentions to her tormented form. And his fascination with his languorous living ledger, the tracings of his bilindu on her vibrant vellum would take hours, the two of them, time and again, adding to the perspirational ink until his sensual stenography became obscure, incomprehensible, indecipherable in the tangle of luscious limbs and bewildering bedclothes. Their only regret with this delicious dictation was that it was its evanescence, necessitating the duplication of the tantalizing transcription over and over and over again.
Well, that was beautifully read, Bobby. And, it's such a delicate beauty that you painted here. All these handwritten, letters on her skin. It really slowly and sensually pulls you into this world of desire and passion between these two, and you're almost in the room with them at that point. I thought it was just fabulous. Absolutely beautiful, Bobby. And Sawa, what did you think?
Oh, this is really too. You took us to scenes where we witnessed this between two people, how almost like there's an intimacy with the writing and the skin. I had to read your author note to understand a little bit better. And you said that the style of calligraphy, it's nonstop. It keeps continuing from one thing to another. So can you imagine the feeling that it's something continuous? There's no pauses or stops. So the sensation that also comes with it. This is really brilliant. You brought up, as I said, a scene where you can see and witness something that can turn dangerous at the end, or even almost, especially the last sentence, that the tracing of the billet doux on her vibrant would take hours, the two of them, time and again, adding to the precision ink until the sensual scenography become obscure. That's when it becomes changed. We see something different, and it has to be repeated again and again and again. Really well done. I like the how you draw us in the scene with the...
Thank you very much.
With your,
merci
my pleasure. Je t'en prie.
Great comments, Ella. Thank you. And Lord, what are your thoughts?
Well, bloody magnificent is what I think. I really enjoyed the writing enormously. And if I can quote a part of one stanza, they're rather long. He informed his living journal that his missive was not yet done, so she surrendered up her inscribed surfaces to him. And as his maddeningly gentle calligraphy working its way back up her now very aroused anatomy, this poem is alive with poetry of the skin, a poetry he forms in characters on her skin, the calligraphy of love as it explores her aroused anatomy, which really is a living paper now bursting into flame. Really well done, Bobby.
Very much.
That was a great comment, Lauren. Thank you. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
I agree with everyone. This is absolutely wonderful. Like I was, you know, it's not a short piece, but it's I was drawn in. Like I was there listening to every word, wanting to know. I wanted to know what that, because that inscription meant. But, you know, what did it mean? What was he writing on her? But I get it, the whole thing, the metaphor for the Kalia, the writing is the passion, you know, of the calligraphy is the passion between the two people, of him working into her body there. It all his passion and all his want and all his need. And this is a very, very hot piece. And yeah, and very, you know, very hot and very passionate. And yeah, wow. And very brilliantly written, Bobby.
Thank you.
So, bravo.
Great comment. Thank you, Naomi. Okay, I've got your piece, Naomi. I'm going to play that. Once I have the link up, here we go. All right, and I'll play your audio. Oh, we have Frank on the line here.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, Frank. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Frank.
Hello there.
I was just thinking,
hello there, my friend.
Frank, for Bobby's speech. I was just thinking that.
Well,
that was funny.
No, you have me here now.
And here you pop up.
Did you get a chance to hear funny. Bobby's, right?
Yeah, I was able to read, obviously, when I was on hold, it was toward the end. But I was able to read most of it. I do agree, you know, there is... She's just a remarkable writer, you know. She just has a knack of, you know, using words just right, you know, properly. Now, I wouldn't say properly, but in the right place, you know, with the flow of her poems, you know. What I enjoyed about this was the notion of the calligraphy, you know. It was a central piece, indeed. But I liked the way you just interwove the aspect of calligraphy to this piece here, which I'm a very, very much an admirer of calligraphy. So when I saw that in the poem, I was taken aback there to memories of when I learned calligraphy back in Spain, of course. But this poem was just excellent, excellent. It was very central, of course, and I thought it was more of central calligraphy more than anything.
Well said. Thank you, Frank. Okay, I've got Naomi's piece up, and I'm going to play her recording.
All kinds of beautiful love. I bought you another dolphin at the trinket store. It was the brightest in the store, like a star rising from the water.
You put it in your wardrobe with the others. You put it in your closet. You bought me a unicorn in the souvenir section. She was the most elegant. It was like as if she wanted to come and tell me that if together the Norwales and the horses made unicorns by mating, you could always make something beautiful with different kinds of love. I put it in my wardrobe with the others. I put it in my closet. But what you hide one day overflows by dint of filling up the closet. And at the end, dolphins and unicorns coming out from those closets will dance hand in hand all around the rainbow, making something beautiful with all kinds of love.
Wonderful read on that, Naomi. And would you mind reading your author's notes?
This is a poem for homosexuality acceptance for my daughter and her girlfriend who just gave birth to my beautiful granddaughter. I use dolphins and unicorns as metaphors for homosexuality because they are seen as being such happy gay creatures.
Well, that's just beautiful. You know, I'm wholeheartedly agreeing that love can be found in, you know, strange places for sure. I thought it was, you know, a wonderfully metaphorical, right? You know, and I really like the use of the unicorn as a figure in this, and I thought it was just beautiful crafting from start to finish, Naomi. Salwa, what did you think?
Thank you.
You bet.
I love the idea of dolphin and unicorn, completely two different creatures, but each one, like one is from the sea and one, and unicorn is on earth. But they are, and the idea that they're coming out from the closet, something that we are familiar with. It's really beautiful how you share this special, very special to you. I love how you said you bought me an unicorn, and this is in your section. She was the most elegant. Was like as if she wanted to come and tell me that if together the Norwales and the horses made unicorns by mating, you could always make something beautiful with different kinds of love. Really beautiful. This one, it says a lot, the whole poem, but this one, very touching and very moving.
Thank you,
Thank you,
Salwa. That's my
pleasure.
That is a picture of my daughter and her girlfriend my granddaughter.
That's so beautiful. Thank you for sharing.
Absolutely. And Lauren, what did you think?
When I read this initially, I thought it was a letter from a mother to a daughter acknowledging the gift of literally a stuffed animal and the gift back. Of course, the second reading and the third reading then revealed the true nature of the piece. Such a beautiful poem of acceptance. And it is that and more. It's a towering rite, showering love on your daughter and her partner. The use of the dolphins and the unicorns was really well done. It softens even more your mood and really elevates the love that you portray in the words written to your daughter and her partner. Beautifully done.
Thank you, Laura.
Great comment, Lauren. Thank you. And Bobby, what did you think?
I thought this was a very elegant piece. Like Laurent, I thought it was a exchanging of tokens of affection at the beginning, but in reading it through and the author's note, I can see it is the whole rite is very elegant, very delicate, very suffused with a lot of love and the symbology, the gentleness of a dolphin and how wonderfully affectionate and intelligent they are. The unicorn, a mythical creature that it is, of beauty and also of fierce bravery and loyalty, which I thought was an interesting inclusion into this. So it's a beautiful expression of a loving relationship and a beautiful picture.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Bobby.
Wonderful comment, Bobby. Okay, Frank, what did you think?
Oh, great. I have to say that this is a wonderful homage there to your daughter and her partner there. You know, I think this whole, you know, image there of what, you know, it's been, you know, we go for centuries, you know, and we've have dealt with such, homosexuality, which I think nowadays, you know, it shouldn't be the issue anymore when you think about love. You know, love has no gender, it has no distinction whatsoever. We are the ones who put those distinctions in them. And I really enjoyed, you know, I thought it was just a fantastic. I wish more of this poetry could be on the air as well. You know, we should all be, you know, I'm not saying we shouldn't be acceptable, you know, I think all of us do, but we should be more keen to really focus in at times, you know, in all types of love, including this type of love, because it's no different than any other type of love, you know. And I think you did a wonderful job. It's a wonderful homage to them. And you're very fortunate to have both of them, as well as your granddaughter as well.
Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Well said. Thank you, Frank. Okay, Frank, I have your write up, and you have a SoundCloud for that, so I'll play that. Mi amor. Tell me something, I am asking. Are you truly happy in this world? Do you need one good man like me to love you so much? I know that you are just tired of being alone at night time, watching twinkling stars glow all by yourself at the beach. Sometimes you seem to feel I've given up on life in love, but I am here to make you believe that a star has fallen from the sky. I am that bright shine of that star, and my lasting glow covers the sea with shades of the alabaster moon. As I stare into the beauty of your eyes, I can sense when you are down, sad and depressed to look at me, for your smile becomes a frown and your tears just fill up the sea. The sea is the refuge for love. And the gentle currents flowing caress us in a warm embrace when we emerge into the waters. I wait by the serene edge of a shore as the tides recede with the ebbs, but I can't seem to stay for long.
without longing to see you again. Tell me something, I am asking. Is it too hard to say I love you? Or am I only searching then for the sea to swallow me? In the shallow waters of love. In the shallow waters of love. Oh, mi amor. Mi amor. Mi amor. In the poem.
Beautiful read, Frank, and a fabulous read.
I appreciate that.
Intimacy.
I appreciate
intimacy
that.
Intimacy.
And I have to, I just want to say really quick that that song was actually for a prompt there for Rhythm and Rhyme by Rex. And it was, the song is there by, it was a song that was a duo there. Lady Gaga was on there, singing there, but the, it was, I don't recall who was playing the music there, but it was taken from, a, I believe, a film there. So I just wanted to make sure I mentioned that.
Right, right. Well, you did a fabulous job with it. I mean, the poem actually has the flow of a musical tune. You know, it's so beautifully done. A fabulous job, Frank.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Steph.
What did you think,
Paula? What I found it really amazing that whenever, like, you say to Frank, this is really amazing and passionate romantic, and he say that he writes it from the, inspired from the song. I don't know how you do it, Frank, honestly. This is really amazing because if no one knows, you just, like, feel that so passionate and so romantic, but it's simply inspired by the... by the song, and it's just really beautiful. You write, you are the king of romance. Beautifully done, as always.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you very much for that.
My pleasure.
Great comments, Ella. And Lord, what did you think?
Well, I might say, first of all, congratulations on such a fine piece. It really is a standout. It escapes the genre of the romantic love poem, which you employ with great success. And that does amaze me as well. Yet, the poem almost seems to speak of something larger than just love. It seems to encompass an entire world that he lives in. I am that bright shine of that star, and my lasting glow covers the sea with shades of the alabaster moon. As I stare into the beauty of your eyes, you speak of the sea as a refuge for love, and the gentle currents flowing, caressing us in a warm embrace. And yet, the poem is called The Shallow Waters of Love. Maybe for her, the sea is never deep enough, regardless of how far out you walk. It's always going to be shallow. When you ask, am I only searching then for the sea to swallow me? It's almost as if you're willing to join her in her appreciation of love as being something less substantial, perhaps, than we might like. Either way, terrific piece.
Yes, I do agree with that. I appreciate that. It's more of a reference there, of a metaphor to a bonding, you know, a bonding between two lovers there, and just how much, you know, how deep that bond is.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Lord. Great comment. And Bobby, what did you think?
I agree with Laurent's comments. This is a departure for you, Frank, but it's such a beautiful departure because it it speaks of a next stage or layer of love, of a deep a bonding and rapport between an affinity who can anticipate and sense each other's moods and feelings and respond to them in like, and the shallow waters of love. I can only think shallow waters would be her tears, and them being shallow because she's so happy in her love that she cries very little.
Yeah, there is analogy to that. It can be interpreted in many ways, just as the song is. I just really wanted to make it, inspired by the affinity there, the strong bond, of the love that's being mentioned here. So I used that analogy there at the end, the shallow waters of love, to really see that, at times we don't know how deep the waters are when we talk about love, how far we can go. We can either progress or we can drown in the shallow waters, or actually be led off to the tides into deeper waters. It's an analogy there, but it is left for other interpretations by all means.
It does give the impression, though, that these are two kindred spirits who are so melded to each other there's a oneness there.
Yeah, there is. This is what I tried to do with the poem, of course. I do appreciate that. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Bobby. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I know this song. It's one of my favorites. And you captured the essence of that song so well in this right here, Frank. Just beautiful. You want to say those words, I love you, but then, you're scared also of saying them. And, you want to be there for this person, but at the same time, you want them to, it's as if you want them to say those words. Will they say it? Unrequited love, I feel in this, or afraid, of just drifting into the waves and getting lost here inside of this, profound love here. This is an amazing parody to that song. Just brilliantly written here, Frank. Bravo.
Oh, gracias. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Naomi.
You're welcome.
And thank you for sharing, Frank.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, my friend.
Okay, so I've got the next poem up. It's by Essa Machiba, and it's called Caravan Songs. And it's got pictured with a quote. What I feel for you seems less of earth and more of a cloudless heaven. What I feel for you is as gentle as the dew, falling softly on petals of flowers that blossom in the golden rays of sunlight, or like a bird when it flies over a cloudless sky, singing songs of the caravan, spreading delight in our heavenly paradise, and those lively eyes that captivates my core and makes them float in streams of embrace, entwined in each other's essence. Surrender to the wind that blew us away in an unending wave of passion. The caravan is the Arabic name of the cockatoo bird from the family of parrots known for its beautiful singing. That was lovely. You can feel the love and the desire and the passion that she has. And it was just a beautiful crafting. I thought it was wonderful. What did you think, Sawa?
Oh, this is really, whenever she talks about her husband who passed away and the love, how much she loves him, it's just, you can feel her feelings very deeply. As she said from the beginning, what I feel for you is as gentle as dew falling softly on petals like a bird. There's so much emotion. And I love how she, because the caravan
mention a lot of love songs in Arabic and movies. So that's really almost like the symbol of love. And it's beautiful that you brought it here. Heavenly paradise and those lovely eyes. You can feel how much they loved each other. And despite of the passing, it's still there, this love. Very moving and very delicate imagery that show her love for him.
Great comment. Thank you, Sawa. And Lawrence, what are your thoughts?
Sama writes beautifully. That's what I think. When I read the quote at first, what I feel for you seems less of earth and more of a cloudless heaven, and then read the first stanza in the poem itself, the transition from Hugo to Chiba was, I mean, there was no bump. It was just a beautiful slide using the same gentle language. And it seemed that Isama had supplied the rest of the poem that Hugo had started. It's a wonderful marriage of tone and language and appreciation of what is being written about. I was very, very impressed that she was able to continue his quote with such skill and appropriate emotion. It was very captivating.
Fabulous comment, Lauren. Thank you. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I have to echo that comment. I noticed the same thing. It was a flawless transition. It carried the same tone and feeling with it. And I have to say, I don't know if this is a who I'm complimenting here, but this reminded me, Saul, well, very much of your writing, because of it invokes not only nature and emotion at the same time, lays a comparison and a parallel between them, and it's such a comfortable comparison. That captivates my core and makes me float in streams of embrace entwined in each other's essence, surrendered to the wind. The delicacy reminded me very much of your writing. I thought this was an absolutely exquisite piece.
May I just say that I was thinking the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
Please.
Me too.
I'm honored. I'm quite honored, really.
Like I said, I was thinking the same thing Bobby said, you know. This tenderness, this gentle flow, this airy sweetness that surrounds this, you know, that resembles you, Saul. You know, and this is just Asana just did an amazing job here. It's just such a beautiful, beautiful, heartfelt write here. It's amazing.
Thank you, Naomi. And Frank, what are your thoughts?
Well, I'm always I'm always taken to a unique realm, you know, of poetry when I hear a piece of Isama. You know, she has a remarkable ability to throw in, you know, metaphors. And I know this is personal as well, the storyline. I too am, you know, I'm aware of her loss there. But I like the way she used the analogy there of the particular bird here, the Karawan. You know, it's a beautiful bird there. It's beautiful singing. And I like the way she really used that, you know, analogy to the remembrance of her lost loved one. You know, and she has she's just remarkable. You know, she doesn't use that much. You know, her poetry is not really long. It's not lengthy. And I agree, it's like Thor's poem. But it always it has those elements of those wonderful elements of using imagery, you know, throughout the poem, or throughout the poetry. And I thought it was just another example of a marvelous writing. I really always, it's been a while since I've not heard a poem, read a poem first, but every time it's a delight. It's always a treat.
Well said. Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
Okay, Sal, I have the next write-up, if you don't mind, please.
Okay. Is it Only Amor by Passion Promise?
Yes,
that's the one.
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, mi amor. Oh, mi amor, lighters of lips against my brazen red, I write with love in my hand on paper my soul kisses. Yours remembers of what was. Ink bled tears stained the signature of promise upon each sheet. Oh, mi amor, I miss the butterfly kisses. How your lashes dance with mine. A fingertips gently prevailed when my heart was its braille. Lips sighed as I felt markings of love against your neckline, while reminding you who was first in my life. You, mi amor, unstable, trembling as I write, missing all that we have shared, the last letter of love, the last commitment of passion. I miss you, mi amor. When it's my time, we will reunite. We think of where we left off. Until then, ti amo, mi amor. End of poem.
Beautiful read, Tawa. It's such a heartfelt, touching poem, you know. You can feel the longing and the passion and the need and the want, but the loss is real, and she'll have to wait until they can meet again to rekindle where they left off. Just a haunting, right, full of love and passion. What did you think, Lord? Hello, Lord. Oh, I think he dropped. He did. Bobby, what did you think?
Another billet doux, another love letter. It is filled. I mean, it really is, because it's such filled with such longing for the absent lover and yearning to feel and it revisits all the things that the writer loves about the absent person, and invoking them, hopefully he's able to relive some of that, even though it's painful to think about it, because the person is gone or is not, they're absent, they're separated, geographically they can't be together. It is a very passionate, very loving, very romantic piece.
Absolutely. Well said. Thank you, Bobby. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
I write with love in my hands on paper my soul kisses yours in remembrance of what was. Ink bled tears. Wow. That's powerful. That's deep and powerful and so filled with yearning and longing. And, you know, it's just beautifully written. Wow, bravo, Passion Promise. It's an amazing write here.
Thank you, Naomi. And Frank, what are your thoughts?
I thought this poem was very much, you know, it is a centerpiece, but it's very much more romantic. I would think it's much more romantic than purely sensual. I like the whole notion there. There is a deep reverence there, remembrance of this lover, you know, and I think we all can recall, you know, those lovers there were very much, you know, very, you know, meaningful, you know, or in this case, it does seem like perhaps a very reverent soulmate, you know, and I really like the whole notion of the words, mi amor, because it does encompass the deep, you know, profound state of really of remembrance, of yearning. There's a longing in this piece here, but I like the analogy there of using, you know, the poems there, using the pin, you know, to write, you know, as if it was a love letter. Indeed it was, And I thought this way, this poem, the way it ended, Te amo, mi amor, it's really very profound four words there. I know they're in Spanish, but they're very profound. And it's not, most people use those words, my love and that, regularly. But when they do have meaning to them, they're very powerful words to use, regardless of language. I think you did an excellent job.
Absolutely.
I agree.
Thank you, Frank. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
It's me who didn't say something. I really love this poem. I agree with all of you, and it reads like a romantic letter. I love the part where you, mi amor, unstable, trembling as I write, missing all that we share, the last letter of love, the last commitment of passion. I miss you, mi amor. When it's my time, we will reunite. There is ending, even though it's so sad and longing, there is hope at the end that they're going to reunite again, as he said, until then. It's a really beautiful, very passionate, very romantic.
Well said. Thank you, Shala. Sorry for confusing you, Naomi. Bobby, would you mind reading for me, please?
I never mind.
Hello?
We got here. Lucid Horizons by Blues Man. Okay, ooh, weird picture. Shallow breaths come rapidly on a lucid event horizon of a transcendental technicolor pastel dream. In birth cries whirl when my eyes open within quiet calm at the center of a flaming tornado. Enraptured and enthralled, I am enveloped in the innocent purity of soulmates' intertwined eternity. My eyes wander to a space no longer empty, for it is filled with the essence of my love that is you. I peer through the cool heat of the spiritual fire that blankets me. Ever am I drawn to a pillar of flame. With the last seconds of sleep, or twin tornadoes blend into an explosion of immaculate conception as our ethereal silver cords become more tightly bound. We are awakened with a smile that we shall share in a dream. End poem.
Fantastic read, Bobby. And this is a delightful poem. It's filled with such passion and reverence for a love that's, cosmic and ethereal. Where it's with the last seconds of sleep, our twin tornadoes blend into an explosion of immaculate conception. As our eternal silver cords become more tightly bound, we awaken with a smile that we shared in a dream. When you're sharing dreams, you're on another level of connection. And I thought it was just beautifully done. What did you think, Sawa? Oh, she's gone. Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, I think this was very spiritual and almost like, mythical in some way, The use of pillar of flame in there and, the ethereal silver cords become more tightly bond. We awaken with a smile that we shared in a dream. It's like they're in another world floating, It's just such a beautifully composed piece here that just reaches beyond that just bare bond of being a loved with a loved person. It reaches farther, bonding right into each other, in a way becoming the other. This is just an amazing right to that prompt there. Just beautifully done.
Well said. Thank you, Naomi. And Frank, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I definitely think this is the embodiment of two soulmates as well. You know, this is really, you know, powerful, intense writing. It's really, it's a beautiful form of expression here when you can go to this realm of sorts, you know, and creativity as well, but have a muse to inspire you. You know, it's even much more, you know, of a precious thing. And I just like the imagery throughout this poem. You know, he has a one, I mean, I've read several of his before. He has a remarkable ability to use metaphors and narratives as well. But, you know, regardless of what he writes, he's just an exceptional writer there. And I really could see, in looking at the prompt, you know, I could definitely feel, you know, that bonding there, you know, between the two soulmates there.
Absolutely. Thank you, Frank. And Bobby, what did you think?
Not a very long piece, but certainly very intense, as Naomi said, almost spiritual and a reverential rite of a deep and abiding love that's on another plane of comprehension. There's no talk of physicality here. There's a talk of a bonding of souls. And the language, I'm ever drawn to your pillar of flame. My eyes wanted to a space no longer empty, for it's filled with the essence of my love that is you. These people, these two have, they have joined spiritually. And the metaphors are beautiful because it leads us to feel that there's nothing higher than what they have.
Absolutely, otherworldly. Okay, Naomi, I have the next write-up. You wouldn't mind, please.
Okay. She Was Different by Matt Jameson. She was different, an intoxicating, enticing, unique kind of different. I think she knew she carried a spark, but self-doubt meant she wasn't quite sure, or she hoped someone would see it. I couldn't fathom it, so I observed, intrigued, fascinated. She'd smile, sometimes directly at me, like we were both trying to solve our worlds. Maybe we were a poet, a muse. Back then, we were young, but it felt like she didn't just fire my mind. It was akin to the hills and mountains and flames, where nature crackled and the world creaked and felt so alive. And yet it was genuine, no seduction, no deception, a warm understanding, slight confusion as to what it was. It was new, pure, and deep with care, where only truth resided, where honesty finally lived. No intentions to outwit, play games, cause pain. Free spirits floating and entwining and reaching out, drifting and encircling, like the spirit's love for the body's head, where both comfort and passion danced in equal measure. She was different. End poem.
Beautiful read, Naomi. And this is such a heartfelt, touching poem, too. I thought it was just beautifully expressed throughout. You know, the whole thing just paints a wonderful image in your mind. And, you know, it has that kind of depth that is ethereal and beautiful. What did you think, Bobby?
Sorry, I was sneezing. I didn't want to inflict that on everyone. believe me, my sneeze windows rattle. This is such a lovely piece, very romantic, very passionate, very deeply felt emotions here. It was genuine, no seduction, no deception, a warm understanding, a slight confusion as to what it was. It almost sounds like a first love that someone's experiencing, and all of these emotions are new, and it makes it I'm searching for the right word. You almost feel privileged to read of that first feeling.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, this made me think of the song Tears of Jupiter, or the one with the Jupiter. Tears from Jupiter. Just made me think of that song, you know, like this girl that he sees, that she's so uniquely different, floating inside of her world there, and intriguing him and fascinating him. And, it's so beautiful. This piece is just amazingly well read. You know, the line where nature crackled and the world creaked and felt so alive. There's just amazing lines in here. Just beautiful, beautiful, heartfelt, right, all the way through here.
Absolutely. Well said. Thank you, Naomi. And Frank, what are your thoughts?
Well, he writes the word intoxicating, and I definitely felt like there was an intoxication there of romance. This is a deep, reverent piece here, you know. What he describes here is uniquely love. You know, it might not be perfect in the sense that we need to understand it, but to him, it is definitely, you know, unique, different, but it's enough for him. And I really like this whole, you know, notion of how he uses the muse here of her and to describe what's going on, you know. And it almost seems when you see it, the way he, you know, he it said drifting in a circle like the spirits loved before the bodies had were both comfort and passion dance in equal measure. That's really beautiful. Two lines there. That's what I took from this piece here. Very ethereal at times, but it was just a beautiful romantic piece.
Well said. Thank you, Frank. Okay, I have the next write-up. It's by Crystal Hope, and she has a SoundCloud, so we'll play this.
I'll always find you. Up in the clouds, past the atmosphere, I feel you in my heart. You're always here, brushing against my back by the ocean blue. Waves of my heart will always be you. No matter where you go, no matter how far, your wings are right here on my heart. No matter how far, I'll always find you. Right where you are, I'll always find you. I'll always find you. Past the peak to a limitless sky, you look down at me and I watch you fly. Brushing against my back by the ocean blue, waves of my heart will always be you. No matter where you go, no matter how far, your wings are right here, right here on my heart. No matter how far, I'll always find you. Right where you are, I'll always find you. I'll always find you. And even if we're broken apart, I promise you're right here in my heart. No matter how far, no matter the place, I'll always find you. face to face. No matter where you go, no matter how far, your wings are right here on my heart. No matter how far, I'll always find you, right where you are. I'll always find you, no matter where you go, no matter how far. Your wings are right here on my heart. No matter how far, I'll always find you, right where you are. I'll always find you, I'll always find you, wherever you are. I'll always find you, I'll always find you.
Well, that was beautifully sung. You know, it has fabulous intonation of love and passion, you know, where you can find somebody no matter where they are. You'll find them face to face. And I thought it was just a beautiful expression of another kind of limitless love. And I thought it was just wonderfully done. What did you think, Bobby?
I thought it was absolutely charming. I love the refrain. I'll always find you. It gave it gravitas. I guess she kept returning to it for emphasis. And I enjoyed it. And excuse me. I think it's very courageous. To sing a cappella, especially, it was a beautifully done piece. The lyrics are a lovely love poem, very romantic.
Absolutely, thank you, Bobby. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, her voice. Wow, you know, I'd go to sleep any night with to a voice like that. So beautiful. And the song that she wrote, oh my gracious, you know, I see it like a real song, you know. So, well, it is a song, but I mean, you know, like a song somewhere on the radio or something, just so beautifully composed, you know, with the repetition in it and everything. It's just airy and tender and gentle, and just has a floaty atmosphere around it. Just a beautiful, beautiful piece.
Thank you, Naomi. And Frank, what did you think?
Well, I would agree. This is a very romantic, not only is it a romantic poem, but actually a romantic song. It just has a beautiful intonation, as you said. You know, a cappella, it's a beautiful thing when you can have a voice, you know, and not only have a voice, you know, just to have the beat, you know, you have to have the right tone, you know, the right beat, you have to have, you know, just, it has to coordinate itself, you know, together, all these elements. She did a wonderful job here, you know, she didn't require music here. In fact, she's even inspired me to perhaps do an a cappella next time, yeah.
And that would be great.
I thought it was a great poem. I had to throw some humor before we go.
Okay, I'll put the next poem up if you wouldn't mind, please, Frank.
Yeah, I'd have to, just bear with me, I have to he actually gave me a poem here that, all right, this is a poem, I'm assuming it's probably the last one here. It's by Leif van Amsterdam. It's called Sexual Herring. And he goes like this. She's something else, unlike anyone before opening my mind. Such a new scores, a gift from the heavens. Created to need more, an unstoppable thirst, hungry to the core. The sexiest girl I've ever seen. More than aesthetics deep to the bone. So able to seduce, so eager to please. I cannot walk away. I'm on bended knee. I love every minute with both of us in it. So mates it seems. Erin of my dreams. End of poem.
Beautiful read, Frank. And it was a deeply powerful poem, you know, of that, again, you know, ethereal bonding that, you know, some people manage to find in their life. And I thought it was just a wonderful expression of that. So good job, Leif Van Amsterdam. Bobby, what did you think?
Very romantic. This is unabashed adoration here. The author is batshit crazy over this person and can't say enough about it, but he does it with such eloquence and depth of feeling. It's almost palpable.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
I love the stanza, the sexiest girl I've ever known, more than aesthetics, deep to the bone. You know, that's, and I love the rhyme in this, the rhyme and the rhythm, and of course the deep passion that runs through it. So just an amazing, amazing right here.
Great comment, thank you. And Frank, what are your thoughts?
Well, I'm just going to end it here. I thought it was very much central here, but I like the fact that he uses her as his prompt there, and to describe her, give her, you know, I just thought the whole piece was just a very, very well-written poem, and he did a great job using the reference there of the herring, you know, a sexual herring. Maybe it's, I'm sorry, it's so late at the night for me, but I just thought it was a great poem. I'm starting to fall asleep, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Paul. I mean, thank you, Frank. I appreciate it. And thank you to everybody that called in tonight. I appreciate your time, especially your time. And much love, everybody.
Take care, my friends. Buenas noches. Take care.
Good night, everyone.
On your door.
Yeah. You too. Good. Take care.
Morning, you it. Good night, everybody.